Well, good morning to you. I am so excited this morning. We had 11 young men and women that showed up this morning for baptism class and wanted to talk about what it means to follow Jesus in baptism and what an exciting, joyful thing that is to spend this morning already. So my heart is full of these things, and I'm glad to be with you this morning. Well, if you have your Bibles, please begin making your way to 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you do not have a Bible with you, you can find a Bible in the pew back in front of you this morning. And we will be looking at a couple of verses in the second chapter of 2 Timothy. Now, some people think that preaching is like teaching in a classroom. You remember what it's like? You've got a professor, you've got a teacher who is passing on information and knowledge to a group of students in his or her classroom. So I learned math from a math teacher in math class, and English and history in the same. And so in class, you're meant to learn things that you do not yet know. And when you learn them, when you master them, well, then you move on. You don't keep going to that class, right? Well, I tend to think that preaching is not like that. Rarely is preaching the passing on of information that you do not know, you see? Now, sometimes there are new believers. Sometimes there are people who've not grown up in church, and maybe they're totally ignorant of the Bible, and they're hearing all kinds of new things that they've never heard before, and that's good. We want this to be a place where that's acceptable, where that's encouraged even. But the reality is, as I look out at you, the reality is that most of you, you've been in church for very long, most of you will not hear anything new. Not anything that you've not heard before, not anything that you do not already know. That's the realistic way to think about preaching, I believe. That I'm telling you stuff that you've already heard and you already know, right? There's a God in heaven. He made you. But your sin has caused you to be separated from Him. But God sent His Son Jesus to be the way, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, so that we may be reconciled to Him, so that everyone who believes in Him would have eternal life. Right? You've heard these things, you know these things, and now if you have Christ, then you have the Holy Spirit, and He's calling you to live a holy life, a righteous life that is in accordance with the Word of God and the gospel. God's calling us to walk in these things now. Right? These are the things that you've heard. You know these things. And so why do we preach these same things week after week after week? And maybe you wonder that. Why must I come? Why must I hear the preaching of the Word again? Maybe you wonder why church at all? Why Bible study? Why is preaching important at all? Because you've already graduated from, you know, Bible 101, and you know these things. Well, let me tell you why it is so important for every one of us. No matter how much you know, how many times you've heard these things, the reality is we are a forgetful people. We're a forgetful people. It's true in my everyday life, even. I don't know how in the world I made it to appointments and I remembered the things I was supposed to remember before the day of cell phones. Yeah, I don't know how I did it, but apparently I did, but now I can't live without it, right? I put my calendar in my phone, and it reminds me of everything I need to remember. Meetings with people, upcoming events, kids' activities, my anniversary. That's an important one. Reminds me of these things, and I need reminding, because almost as soon as I tell somebody I'm going to do something, almost as quickly I can forget and just totally miss it. Same is true in our spiritual lives. We know these things. We know about God. We know about the gospel. We know about the danger of sin. We know about grace. We know about the call to love and obedience. We know these things, and yet we need to hear them again and again and again because we are so forgetful that we can know these things, but we don't live them. And so my job in preaching is not to be your Bible professor, to teach you new Bible information. My primary job is to remind you of the Scriptures, to remind you of God, the gospel, of grace, the Word of God. These things that you know, I'm reminding you of the things that you've heard and the things that you know so that you will walk in them and not forget. We must fight spiritual forgetfulness. Fight against it. It seems that actually the problem is sin in our life and not that we actually cannot remember. It's not a physical problem. It is a spiritual problem, you see. And here's how we know this to be true. We've got long and vivid memories when it comes to the people and the events that have wronged us, don't we? We never forget the wrongs that have done to us. What someone said, what someone did, or when we see that person that wronged us, we remember very clearly, don't we? Our memories are fine, you see, but it seems that when it comes to remembering the grace of God and remembering the gospel, to remembering who we are in Christ, to remembering what we've been saved from, to remembering the Word of God, to remembering the treasure and the reward of Christ, these are the things that we are most forgetful of. And so my problem, your problem, our problem is that we remember all the things that we should forget. The Bible says we should forget the wrongs committed against us. We should forget the mistakes of our past. We should forget these things, but we remember them all too well. We remember the things we should forget. But we forget all the things we should remember. That's how we know this is a spiritual problem, not a physical one. And if we understand then this makes sense of what we're going to see in 2 Timothy 2 today. For here Paul says, remember Jesus Christ, Timothy. Remember Christ. Remember the resurrection. Remember the gospel. Remember the power of God. Remember the life, the death, and eternity. Remember these things in your life. Remember them. And of course, Timothy knew these things. Timothy probably preached sermons to his church in Ephesus on these very things. He knows Jesus. He knows the resurrection. He knows the gospel. He knows the Word of God. He knows about eternity. Paul is not telling him something he does not know, you see. He's reminding him of what he does know. Why? Because it's easy to know something but yet not live it out. We can live as if we do not know it and not impact, not change who we are and how we live. That's what we mean by forget. We don't mean that you've lost the facts or you've lost the information. We mean you're not living it out. We are a forgetful people. We need to fight spiritual forgetfulness in our life. And so we need to hear the command again. Remember Jesus Christ today. You know him, but maybe in your life you have forgotten him, you see. Let's look at these words together in 2 Timothy 2, starting in verse 8. Through verse 13 today. If you'd stand in the honor of the reading of God's word together and join me in that, if you are able. 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy. For if we've died with him, we will live with him. If we endure with him, we will also reign with him. But if we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray and ask for his help this morning. Heavenly Father, in these very words again is the exhortation to us today. Remember something. Remember Christ our Savior. Remember his resurrection. Remember the incarnation. Remember the gospel. Remember these things. And Lord, I pray today as we take stock of our own lives and our own hearts that we too would find the places in our lives where we have forgotten Christ and the gospel. Where we're not living in accordance with the very word that has been entrusted to us. The very things that we know and believe. Would you come and remind us again of these things we are so forgetful? Remind us again and again and again that we may learn to walk in them. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we are not the first forgetful people ever. Apparently, we come by it honestly. When we read the Bible, we see that it is a common problem in every generation. Remember, God did the most amazing things when he rescued the Jewish people out of slavery in Egypt. Plagues, miracles, and the demonstration of the extraordinary power of God over all things. The parting of the Red Sea, the deliverance of the people from Pharaoh's army, God's provision of the people in the wilderness, water that came out of a rock, manna that falls out of heaven. How can you forget these things if you've experienced them? And that's exactly what happened. They forget God's provision, and right there in the wilderness, they say, we're going to die out here. We grumble and they complain. And they forget God's power, and they forget God's deliverance, and they say, when they reach the land, they say, we can't overcome those people in the land. They're too mighty for us. Have they forgotten what God did in Egypt? Apparently so. But we are more like them. And we'd like to admit, surely. And so as the people of God, as they prepare to enter into the promised land after then wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, as they're preparing to enter into the land, God says to them in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 23, says, now take care, meaning make effort, take care, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and you worship a carved image. Don't forget that your God is a consuming fire. Don't forget that he is a jealous God. Fight forgetfulness in your life. Two chapters later in Deuteronomy, God says, take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Fear God and serve him only. Two chapters later, he says, take care lest you forget the Lord, your God, by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, lest you enjoy all the joys and the blessings of the land, and you forget the Lord, your God. Right? You get the point, right? They're standing there preparing to go into the land, and God is saying to them over and over and over again, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. And what did they do? A little bit later in the book of Judges, it tells us, as they settle in the land, it says, and the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God. Forgot. We're forgetful people, which is why we need to be around the people of God and hear the preaching of the Word of God and participating in the ordinances of God together in the church as this regular and the steady reminder of what we must not forget. We need to hear this passage. Remember Jesus Christ. Remember the gospel today. See, even in the New Testament, the book of James picks up this image of just how easy it is for us to know these spiritual things, but to not live them. And he says, the one who hears the word, but does not do it, is not changed by it, is like a man who sees himself in a mirror and walks away and immediately forgets what he saw. The mirror is that which shows us our messed up hair. It doesn't really show me that, but some of you, it shows you your messed up hair. It shows you the stain that's on your face. It shows you the tie that is crooked, right? And you look in the mirror in order to fix the things that you see. If you look in the mirror and you see the big chocolate stain that's there from the Little Debbie snack cake that you snuck after breakfast before church. You looked in the mirror and you saw that chocolate stain there. And you immediately walked away and you forgot that it was there. And you came to church and you're wondering, why is everybody staring at me? You've forgotten. But how often is this true of us spiritually? We're confronted with the Word of God. We're convicted of our need for life change. We hear the call to repent and to believe the gospel. We see the need for spiritual growth and commitment to the Lord in our life, and yet we walk away unchanged by it and we forget. And so, it's the same message I preach to you every Sunday, just from different texts. Remember Jesus Christ. Remember the gospel. Remember the power of the resurrection. Remember the word of God. Remember these things. And so don't walk out of here and forget them, but live them. Put them into practice. Make them the habit of your life. Make them the meditation of your heart. This we need. And so I hope you understand why Paul is saying what he says here, because we need the reminder, don't we? Now let's consider what specifically he wants us to remember here. First, most importantly, he wants us to remember Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ. He's meant to be the center point of our lives. He's meant to be our treasure, our great reward. He's Lord, he's King, you see. And so what does it mean to remember Jesus? Well, to forget him is like the forgetfulness of the Old Testament Israelites. To live as if he doesn't matter. To live as if he's not Lord, not King. To worship and give priority to other things in your life, to make other things more important than him. That's what it means to forget. It's not that some of your memory has been erased and it has to be relearned. It's to fail to live as if it is true. This is the nature of sin in our lives. You see, sin is when we forget. We are anxious, we are worried because we forget we have a Heavenly Father who loves us and takes care of us. We indulge in the sins of the flesh because we forget the treasures and the rewards of Christ and that they are greater than everything the world has to offer. We ignore, we minimize our own sin because we forget the holiness of God. We forget that God knows all things. We harbor unforgiveness and bitterness in our life because we forget how much we have been forgiven in the gospel of Christ. So as a believer, every answer to us is remember Jesus Christ. This is why we so desperately need to be in our Bibles. Why we need to be together as a church that we might remember these things, you see. Remember Jesus Christ. But he mentions three things here to remember about Jesus: the resurrection, the incarnation, and the gospel. And so he reminds us he is risen from the dead. What a great timing this is following Easter Sunday last week. We gathered together last week to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But a week later, have we already forgotten it? You see, the resurrection is not meant to be just an annual celebration. It is meant to be life-transforming power for every day of your life. You can make it today because Jesus is risen from the dead. The power that raised Jesus to life is the power that is in you by the Holy Spirit. Christ with you today. He is risen. And it changes everything about our lives, or at least it's meant to, if we do not forget. The resurrection guarantees future glory and the hope in Christ. The resurrection is the confirmation of our faith that it's not in vain. The resurrection changes our perspective about our present circumstances. You hear Paul say that very thing here, don't you? This is what he says. He says, you hear he goes on to say, listen, I'm suffering. I am bound in chains as a criminal, bound up in Nero's dungeon in Rome, likely, about to be unjustly executed. But there's no despair. There's no anger at his circumstances, no complaining, no bitterness, just this joy in Christ that he has. How can that be? He remembers the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Coming glory that is guaranteed by the resurrection of Christ for him if he is faithful to the end. We can suffer with faithfulness and joy when we do not forget Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, preached in the gospel. It's interesting here that he mentions the offspring of David, isn't it? How does that help us to remember that Jesus is the offspring of David? Well, in the Bible, the son of David is shorthand often for the humanity of Jesus or the incarnation. It reminds us, you see, that Jesus did not come as an angel. He did not come as simply a spirit. He did not come simply as only as God. He is God, but not only as God. He put on the humanity of human flesh. He was born as a man. Now, the book of Hebrews tells us that when we remember the humanity of Jesus, we are encouraged to remember that he walked like we walk, that he was tempted like we are tempted, that he faced hardships and troubles just like we face hardships and troubles, that he understands our weakness and our troubles. He understands us, you see. We must remember him in all of our struggles. Remember what kind of life Jesus lived? The rejection, the betrayals, the false accusations, the hardships. He knows our troubles, doesn't he? And so when we think we're alone in all of our struggles, remember Jesus, the offspring of David, that he is with us and he understands us. But most importantly, remember the gospel. And we need to understand that the gospel is not just a set of facts and information that is to be memorized and believed. Now, it is that, but it's so much more. The gospel is a spiritual reality of the power and the grace of God that's meant to change everything about our lives. We've often said this, but it bears repeating. In the gospel, God calls us to come to Him just as we are in all of our sin and all of our guilt. We come to Him just as we are. But in the gospel, God does not leave us just as we were. He intends for us to not only believe the gospel as facts, but the gospel to live the gospel, for the gospel to transform our lives. It's meant to touch every area of our lives. So we love because He first loved us in the gospel. We give because we have been given so much in the gospel. We forgive because we have been forgiven in the gospel. We trust because God has proven Himself trustworthy in the gospel. We rejoice. We hope in these things because of the promise of the gospel. Some have said that spiritual growth in our life is simply the result of the application of the gospel to every area of our lives. So you grow spiritually, you begin to think and act and do in accordance with the gospel in every area of your life. Now, listen to how the gospel can change our lives. Paul, as I've said, he's in a dungeon. He's being tortured. He is suffering unspeakably simply because he's a Christian, you understand. And what he says here, this is how the gospel changes his thinking. What he says here is, I may be bound, I may be chained, but the word of God is not bound. The work of God in the world goes on with me or without me. You see, the world can silence us. The world can kill us. The world can frustrate us, but the work of God goes on without hindrance. Always. God cannot be silenced. God cannot be frustrated. His work is unstoppable in the world. More than once, I reminded myself of these things over the past year. I don't know if you struggled with these things over the past year or not, but quarantine, canceled church without the fellowship of believers so often, I had to remember these things. We may be quarantined, but God's word is not quarantined. God is doing something in the world that we don't know, just as He's been doing since the beginning of time. God is still at work. And He is still unstoppable in the world. So we remember these things and we are encouraged by them. And so that's why Paul can say, therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may obtain salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Even in his suffering, he's totally focused on the spread of the glory of Jesus in the gospel and not on himself. How can that be? Because he's remembering Jesus Christ in this moment. Risen from the dead, the offspring of David, preached in the gospel. And so must we. Every single day. When we get up in the morning. Remember these things again. You know, if you tend to run your life on autopilot or on default, without intentionality, without spiritual effort, you will fall into forgetfulness. You will forget these things. Maybe as soon as you walk out these doors today, you will forget these things. What's for lunch? It's forgotten. But the Bible is calling us to remember these things, a conscious awareness of Jesus in your life and the Holy Spirit's work and living for the glory of Jesus and the gospel. Your conscious effort to remember these things, to put them before your thoughts every single day, to ask for the Lord's help in them, to be in the Word, hear the preaching of God's Word, to seeking to live them out intentionally in what you do. That's how we fight spiritual forgetfulness in our life. It is a spiritual battle to be fought. Now, quickly, one last thing. This trustworthy statement we find at the end of this passage. And it's obvious that whether this statement comes from Paul or whether Paul is quoting someone else, we don't know. But regardless, it's meant to be something of a proverb, right? We heard some of the proverbs here already this morning. You know what the proverbs are like. They are these memorable statements of spiritual truth. That's what this last trustworthy statement is like. And so, since remembering Jesus Christ is tied to our faithfulness, which is what this letter is all about, right? It's this encouragement to faithfulness. This trustworthy statement is an encouragement to that end also, to faithfulness. And that's what's at stake when we're talking about fighting forgetfulness. We're talking about faithfulness, right? And so to know that when we come to Christ, you see what he says? When we come to Christ, we remember, here's the things we remember. We died to our sin and our old self. But when we died, we actually came alive. So we are to live as people who are spiritually alive in Christ every day. And so we endure troubles. We endure sufferings of this life, knowing they are simply temporary. And they are temporary because one day, you see what he says, we're going to reign with him in glory. These are the things that we're remembering, we're putting before our mind every day. We've died to those things. We live with Christ. We will reign with him in glory. I know these things to be true. The alternative is meant to be sobering, isn't it? But if we deny him in this life, if we live for ourselves, if we live as if Jesus does not matter, then he will deny us on the day of judgment before God. We must not forget Jesus Christ. We must fight forgetfulness. We must pursue faithfulness to Jesus. This much is clear here in this passage. But this is what is not so clear. Exactly what is meant by the last statement. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. How do you read that statement? Well, there's two ways to understand this statement. One of them is positive and one of them is negative. On the initial reading of it, it sounds positive, but the context of it here seems to mean that maybe we should read it as negative. Here's what I mean. Is he saying here that there is a distinction? So there's four lines here. Is he saying, we're thinking about lines 3 and 4 here. Is he saying that there is a distinction between denying Jesus in line 3, denying Jesus, and simply lacking faith in line 4, or having moments of faithlessness? Because it's clear, when we deny Jesus, he will deny us, and the end result of that is hell. But what is he saying in the fourth one? If we are faithless, if we are lacking of faith. And I think we can understand that there really is a difference between those two things that we're talking about. The denial of apostasy and simply faithlessness in our lives. Because we as believers, we fall into faithlessness sometimes. And the difference between the two is the difference between Judas and Peter, right? Judas, who denied Jesus and was lost, apostasy. And Peter, who denied Jesus in a moment, but was restored to the Lord and was saved. I think we can understand that there is a difference. So if you walk away from Jesus and you walk away from the gospel, there is no other hope of salvation. That much is true. So he will deny us. We will be lost forever. I think that's the warning here. But if we come to know Christ and to believe the gospel, then despite our times of faithlessness, God remains faithful to his promise to save those who truly belong to him. If that's you, because he cannot deny his promise. And I believe all of that is biblical and true. And he very well may mean for us to understand that in that very verse there. That we may stumble, but the kindness and the grace of God will not allow us to fall completely. There is assurance in that. But the context, as you look at the context here, it may lead us to read this as a negative statement. Here's why. Because this statement, like many of the Proverbs, tends to show us what we call parallelism. So you have two statements that say the same thing. They are parallel to one another, but they just use different words, saying the same thing. And then those statements are in contrast to another. So you got four lines here. The first two say the same thing. The last two maybe say the same thing. Okay? So the first two obviously belong together, and they say, if we belong to Christ and if we persevere with Him, we will live with Him in glory. Right? Encouragement, assurance. And that is in contrast to what he says next. If we deny Him, He will deny us, and we will not live with Him in glory. So it makes sense in the context to see that maybe the last line is parallel to the third line and say, that's the same thing. So if we are faithless, literally without faith in Jesus, then Jesus will be faithful to judge us according to the standard of perfect righteousness, for He cannot deny His holiness. He must punish sin. Maybe that's what He means. Of course, we understand that to be biblically true also, don't we? And therefore, it's difficult to decide between these two options here. The last statement could be parallel to the third statement, could be a statement of God's judgment, or maybe it intentionally breaks the pattern in order to surprise us about the grace and the mercy of God. That despite our failures, despite our sins, that salvation comes by grace and not by works. And so there is assurance for us in Jesus Christ. Is it warning or is it assurance? I don't know. But we need both in our life, don't we? We need both of them. Either way, the command is still the same today. To remember Jesus Christ. Not just intellectually, but in the ordinary, every day of your life. Tomorrow, when you wake up, remember Jesus Christ. The next day, remember Jesus Christ. Walk with Him. Know Him. In obedience to Him in every area of your life. In accordance with the gospel that you know. How will you remember Jesus tomorrow? How will you fight spiritual forgetfulness? You bow your heads today. Do you know Jesus, risen from the dead, the descendant of David, preached in the gospel? Do you live as if you know it? With faith, with joy, with purity, with godliness, with the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Or have you forgotten Him? It's time to remember Jesus today. Will you ask for God's help to do that? Heavenly Father, I pray in this time of response, how easy it is for us to simply walk out of here every Sunday and simply forget everything that we've heard. Maybe even now in this moment, the Holy Spirit is convicting of sin or moving in the hearts of people, and you feel moved by that in this moment. But in just a moment, we're going to be dismissed, and how easy it is to simply leave all of that behind and forget it all. Lord, may that not be us. May we not be those who look at ourselves in a mirror and walk away and forget immediately what we've seen. But your word is a mirror to us, and may it show us the places in our lives where we need your grace. We need the gospel's work. And may we walk out of here changed by it, living in accordance with the gospel, remembering Jesus Christ today and rejoicing in Him. So Lord, would you come and fill us with the truth of these things today. In Jesus' name.